This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan DeCue, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories.
A local Joburg has set himself a goal to collect and recycle 50,000 bags of trash before he hits his 50th birthday. And exactly one day before, Sean Williams did it. He's become a local celebrity in the Four Ways area as he cleans up our environment. Sean, it's great to have you on the Good Things Jackpot. I'm excited to finally be chatting to you. The work you've done is absolutely phenomenal. Welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Brent. And to be speaking to you and for all the help that you've given me is a true honor. I mean, you are a legend in your own way in this industry as a blogger and as a storyteller, obviously writing amazing stories. So I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
More than welcome. The work that you've done over the last couple of months has been absolutely inspirational. But I have to ask, we have to go back to the beginning.
Yes.
I think even before you met Lovemore, how did your passion and love for the environment come to be?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting story, and I'll try and keep it as short as possible because I've always had a passion for endangered species. And when I started the Sean Williams Living Creatures Trust plus minus 2008, I was always passionate about protecting our endangered rhinos, wild dogs, pangolins, elephants, lions. There's so many. I mean, the list is endless. But I tried to stick to the sort of the African endangered species. And I sort of did that work. I supported a number of charities, Volpro, Cheetah Outreach, Anne van Dyck, Wildlands. And then I sort of had a bit of a drawback in my life. I met my wife within a month. She was pregnant. And then within 1 year, we basically had a child and were married. So I was a bit taken aback. And I took strain. The business was starting to wobble a bit. And I then started dabbling into a little bit of drugs, which is not me. You know, I'm a professional. I've been a professional athlete my whole life. And then after a couple of months, I realized that, you know, I needed to make a change in my life. And, you know, everyone sort of says, well, to sort yourself out, you go into things like rehabs and all things like that. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and work in the Maldives as a volunteer at a turtle rehabilitation center. And the reason why I chose the Maldives, not because of the beauty, that obviously it is an exceptionally beautiful, beautiful spot, but it was because being a Muslim nation, you're not really allowed to drink on the local islands at all. So for me, you know, staying away from alcohol for months was probably the best thing that I could have done for myself. And through that month of rehabilitating turtles and getting to see how many turtles and other marine life were brought into the center with, you know, with either straws in the nose, like many people know, and ghost rope around their fins, and amputating some of the fins, some of the turtles didn't make it. So I then realized that, you know, this plastic pollution thing is a severe issue. And also, there was a few uninhabited local islands around the island I was staying on, and I got to visit these islands on my days off. I got to see at least 100,000 plastic bottles sitting on an island that would take you 20 minutes to walk around it. No one lives on there. So I came back home, decided that I had to start making a difference in not just complaining and writing stories and, you know, being the person that's always encouraging others to do good things. So I thought, let me do it myself. And I started doing eco brick building, which, you know, it's become a craze at schools. And, you know, a lot of people that have time on their hands have been making eco bricks, which is single use plastics shoved into a 2-liter plastic bottle. And then its initial idea was to use it to build houses instead of normal cement bricks. So I got involved in that at home. And through that, schools saw me doing I was making furniture out of eco bricks, and I was making all sorts of weird and wonderful things. And I then started doing talks at schools about eco brick building and saving the planet. And I got to realize quickly how much it inspired me, how much it filled my glass to be able to talk to the youth of this planet about how dire this planet is at the moment. We forget to understand that we are killing this planet faster than any scientist predicted. So I then, you know, we went into lockdown and all the schools came to an end. So I was sort of sitting quite here at home thinking, God, what am I going to do to fill my glass? And then myself and Lovemore, you know, sitting at home during sort of not the hard lockdown, just after that, we decided to go out and just pick up litter. You know, my business by this stage now collapsed. And as I said in my speeches to the kids, I think my first day that him and I did our first cleanup, I think we did 6 or 8 bags. And that was around July, August. It was just him and me, and then we started getting volunteers on board. And on the 9th of November is when I launched the Live Life Always initiative, which was about employing these residents from Diepsloot, because, I mean, the unemployment rate in Diepsloot is well into the 80%. And I thought, well, let me try and take on employment, try and clean up the rivers. At that stage, we're doing rivers and the streets. And, you know, and I begged the community for funding, and I got a tremendous response in the beginning. And that's why I was able to at first hire 20 staff for about 2 months. And then we've been up and down between sort of 12 down to 6 up to 8, 10. But as I said before you today, you're right. I never thought in my wildest dreams would I be sitting on my 50th birthday with 51,000 bags of litter that we've collected on the streets and building 56 dustbins currently. So it's a tremendous, like you said, I've become this hero. But for me, it's internally, I feel that I'm changing people's lives. And it's not just on the employment side, it's on the youngsters. And it's about yourself, you know, meeting people like you and many other people that have just really found this initiative so inspiring.
Sean, I must take a step back and ask, because I mean, we speak about now 51,000 bags of trash. Is there that much rubbish on our streets? Because I don't see it. Is it that bad?
Yeah, you know, I say the same thing to you. You know, when you're driving along and you see, oh, there's a bit of litter. When you get out of your car and you actually go and walk amongst the grass or inside the drains or in the rivers, I mean, there is so much litter. I mean, 51,000 bags, I could probably say 5,000 of those bags have come out of rivers, you know, out of river cleanups that we've done over the couple of months. The rest has literally come off the streets. You know, some of it, as you know, a large majority of it recently has been done in Diepsloot. I mean, we were collecting 500 bags a day in Diepsloot, and that was only on one street. That was each time we're doing a cleanup, there's one street of maybe 150 meters, maybe 200 meters a stretch of a road that is literally 2 meters high in trash. So, yes, it's a severe problem, especially in the townships where, unfortunately, there's no service delivery, there's no bins, there's no real attention on trying to even encourage the residents there to take some form of initiative of recycling or, you know, putting their rubbish in one area. So, yeah, we have a tremendous problem in this country. I think worldwide it's a massive problem. But yes, to answer your question, 40,000 at least of those bags have come off the streets of Fourways, Sunninghill. A couple of the other areas are done, but we're talking just Joburg. You're not even talking Natal or Cape Town or any other province, except a little bit in Roosendaal, where I've got that little house, you know, but that's minor.
So this brings me to my next question. And I'm really thankful that you touched on service delivery. So when we put out stories about you, it's always such a positive engagement and reaction that we get from readers. But there are those few readers that do say, what about the government? I mean, you guys are out there doing this. Where are the taxes going? Where are the people that are supposed to be cleaning up the streets? Where are they?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because I think if you have a look at any of my, you know, my posts over the last 6 months, I've always tried to be neutral when it comes to trying to answer questions that I don't particularly have the answers for. And I don't really want to get involved in political stuff. But to agree with you that I think the government is not doing what it's supposed to be doing with service delivery. I mean, we're not just talking townships. I think we're talking in general, where, you know, the municipalities are failing. We all know that most things that are run by the governments, unfortunately, is like just not being managed properly. I mean, I've been told stories by my staff that, you know, pick it up would come to, say, Fourways on a Monday. They drop off their 3-4 cleaners. It depends on what their staff requirement is for cleaning up Fourways. These guys get off the back of this van. They see Live Life Always cleaning up. They get back in, or they basically walk up to the taxi rank and they go home. So you think, well, who's managing those guys? Because, I mean, they just don't clean. They just see we cleaning, so they duck. And I think the same apparently was when the guys were cleaning up in Diepsloot. They saw the pick-it-up guys or the municipality guys sitting in shebeens getting drunk in the afternoons. And you think, but where's management? Where's the accountability of where were you today between 8 and 5? So that's what I have heard via just my cleanups. You know, I'm not talking about any other people's opinions, but where our taxes are going, no idea. But for me, you know, I sit and think there's nothing I can do. I can't go and change government's opinions or whatever they're trying to do. But for me, all I can do is what I can do, what I have power to do, and that's to try and make a difference myself and get other people encouraged to take the situation that we do have on our planet. It's not even in South Africa, on our planet. It's just bring awareness, because You know, I'm not saying on any of my posts, oh, Sean's going to change the world. I've said together we're going to change the world, because only together can we really start making a movement where we can start holding people with power accountable for what they're supposed to be doing. But at the moment, no one does. We just shout and scream and moan, but no one's really doing anything.
I'm going to disagree with you here. There are people doing things, and those people are you. You're getting off your bum, and you're physically making a difference. And not only are you cleaning up our country, our environment, but you've also created jobs for people to do the same, to help the environment, and to get paid to do that. And I think that's what I alluded to when I spoke about the government.
Yes.
Because the fact of the matter is, you've created this initiative that has physically employed people, but you do need the backing of the community to continue doing the good work you do.
Yes.
How has sponsorship been up until this point?
So like I said, in the beginning, when I started the original initiative in November, we were aiming to do a big river cleanup on the Yuxkay through the Grace Point Church. And I was overwhelmed by the amount of money that people were putting in. I mean, I think between the 9th of November and end of December, I must have raised R250,000. I mean, this is, you know, these are people donating money towards somebody that is, they've at that stage, they didn't know who I was. They didn't know what I was going to do with their money. They were just hoping and praying that this person would use the money to employ people and to do the things that he set out to do. And I think now I've been tremendously fortunate to have DHL, who a month ago gave me R100,000 as part of their green initiative project. We've got EOH, who's come on board, and they're going to donate R50,000 towards building additional dustbins. On that note, it hasn't become sustainable where I can say to 10 people, okay, guys, or however many people it is, guys, you now have a full-time job. I will look after you because we are being looked after. We have two sponsorships that are full-time, and that is only R10,000 a month. Now, like I tried to explain, and I think people can see it, is to make 10 people work 5 days a week at R250 a day, you know, you're looking at R50,000 a month, R55,000 a month to keep just these 10 people employed 5 days a week, 4 weeks a month. And that's not including me. I mean, I was telling people that, you know, I'm the poorest I've ever been in my life, but my soul's the happiest it's ever been. And that's because the initiative hasn't funded me yet. You know, I mean, obviously I've got a family, I have a life, I've got petrol and time and everything. And my whole goal was just to keep the staff happy, you know, to keep them employed. And hopefully through this passion and continual effort of cleaning up day in, day out, and never giving up, you know, you're praying that this thing is something that you can turn to be sustainable, not just for them, but for myself. Mm-hmm. So we're not there by any means. It's I sit here before today, you know, after doing 51,000 bags, 50 years old and 50 dustbins. And I look and think, geez, on my personal life, what am I going to do? Well, you know, I'm unemployed pretty much. I've got serious commitments financially because of the losses I made in my business. It's quite a daunting thing for me, you know. But for me, the last 6 months has been the most incredible journey of my entire life. Just the love, care, and support by all the community members, and everyone's trying to do their best to keep it going. Yeah, I pray every day, Brent, that something good will happen. You know, I want to continue doing this.
The one question I have that I want to add in here is just if you could tell me a little bit about the dustbin program. So we've spoken about the bags of trash that you've collected. We now know that you're building this little company that's employing South Africans and giving them a sense of purpose. But where do the dustbins fit in?
It started in four ways, where you are dealing with areas where taxis are parking. They're not really supposed to park there. That's not their designated parking areas. But you will see 30 taxis parked in a row, and you would struggle to find one municipal dustbin, which is a pick it up dustbin or a city or a Joburg dustbin. You wouldn't see them in anywhere. So I thought, you know what? I said, it's pointless going around picking up litter when the next day the guys can say, well, there's no bin here, so let me just keep on throwing the floor. So we built about 20 dustbins in the greater fours quickly, and we have found that they have worked. I mean, when we do our volunteer cleanups and pick it up, comes through and picks up the rubbish in their bags, they're also cleaning out our dustbins. And it just shows that, you know, it is helping. I would say it's reducing the throwing out of plastic onto the streets by at least, I would say, 50, 60%. But yes, unfortunately, it's still the mentality of, you know, throwing out litter out of the window is going to create job employment, or throw out litter because someone else is going to pick it up. But it has got better. That, you know, we have to always look at the positives in a situation like this, because it's really easy to be negative. I mean, I could say to you, if someone, you know, how many people have asked me, Sean, how many of the places that you've gone back are still dirty? And to be honest, every single one of them are still dirty. So it's a long and hard road, but we can't give up. We've got to just keep on trying to educate people. We've got to try and do what we can instead of just saying, well, give up, you know, because no one's really taking notice of this. But it is working. It is. I believe it is working, the bins.
Sean, I just want to rehash what you said, because we may have lost it during the signal when we had a bit of signal loss. You said, and you spoke briefly about the last 6 months have been some of the best of your life. Why is that?
You know, as I said, I've owned my own businesses since I was 28 years old. And what I've recently noticed in businesses, especially my furniture business, which I was in the process, well, it's closing down, is that people have no ethics and morals anymore. You know, people will do anything to try and steal a deal from you. You know, just I found the corporate world, the money-driven world, has become so cutthroat, so, you know, underhandedness. And then when I've started an initiative that is really about cleaning up for us, you reach out to people and you get to realize how many people are really appreciate and love what I do. So you get to feel the love of everyone. It's just like I have faith in human beings again. You know, I have faith and hope in many human beings that have given me love. I mean, just the small things of putting food on our table sometimes and giving the guys shoes, giving them overalls, food parcels. It blows my mind. I mean, the other day, someone went out and did a cleanup and collected 100 bags. And he did that as a thank you to me and happy birthday. I mean, it's just, you know, that's going out and picking up litter. It's not going out and booking a restaurant voucher, you know. This is hard work. And I'm blown away. Even like today, seeing that I'm on the front cover of the Stainfern Living magazine, I think, God, you know, I'm not like I invented the vaccine. I'm just a normal human being like you and I who's gone out and decided to get a bag with a pair of gloves and pick up litter. And yes, you're right. Try and create employment and many other things, educating and doing talks at schools, which I do for free at the moment because I just love it. I just love the energy this is giving me. It's unbelievable.
Well, you are a definite inspiration and I love the work that you're doing. I hope that there are listeners that replicate this and go out there and clean their areas. Just clean up after yourself. It's the most important thing. I must ask. So we did 50,000 bags before your 50th birthday. What's next?
So I replied in a post because I've had a tremendous amount of those questions. It's what's next? Are you going to carry on? Is it what's happening? Look, I'm going to continue in as much as I can, as long as I can, to keep changing the world. You know, when you said earlier, you know, encourage people to go out and do cleanups. I think what people really need to understand is through this incredible 6 months, I've met some very influential environmentalists, people that work for the WHO. And you know, they work for these companies that are in France that are all about climate change. And the one guy I met, he said to me, Sean, I've got a six-year-old daughter and you've got a five-year-old daughter. If we don't, as humans, start planting trees and cleaning up our planet and taking this climate change thing seriously, they are going to be the last generation on this planet. And you think, hang on, that's like 50 years away, you know? I mean, we are destroying this planet so fast and we can't sit back and just say, oh, someone else must do it, or we've all got to do it. We have to all get out there and do our piece. It doesn't need to be picking up litter. We can be involved in getting in, planting trees, helping purify water. There's so many things that we are literally destroying every day, not just the streets of Fourways or the streets of Johannesburg or the oceans. There's many things. And we just need to start loving our planet again. We can't come here and just consume and leave and say, okay, well, we had a good journey on this earth. We need to actually give back to Mother Earth, this beautiful planet that is our home. It's your home. It's my home. It's everyone else's home. We're the only living species on this planet that can make a change. We can make a change. We have a choice. No other species on this planet has a choice. So I think each and every one of us must get out there and choose wisely and protect this planet, not just for ourselves, but for our future generations and for the other living creatures that live on it.
100%. It's our responsibility to continue and make the world a better place for the future generation. Sean, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been absolutely incredible speaking to you. Thank you for your time and your energy and all the effort that you give to giving back to Mother Earth every single day. If people want to follow your journey, if they want to keep up to date with what you're doing, if they want to donate, where do they go?
So, you know, Live Life Always is now, it's got its own Facebook page. It's Live Life Always. I have registered Live Life Always as a company now. So going from just a motto, it's now been a registered company. We'll slowly turn that into the vessel where donations can go through. But at the moment, I'm using the Sean Williams Living Creatures Trust, which is a public benefit organization registered with SARS. That is the where people can deposit money in there. What's amazing is like I can offer Section 18A certificates to companies or any organizer or any person that is wanting to claim the tax back. So that's the Sean Williams Living Creatures Trust. It's www.sw for Sean Williams, swtrust.co.za. And on there, they'll see a Nedbank account. And then there's Backer Buddy that's got a fundraising platform for me if people want to do that on a credit card thing. But yes, just follow Live Life Always. I'll continue to try and keep that updated with volunteer cleanups. And I mean, now I'm seeing a school on Friday that wants to start doing sort of kids community service cleanups, which is great. So yeah, it's starting to take shape, but any donations is needed. You know, everyone says, what do you need? And the most important thing we need, unfortunately, is money to keep the staff and the whole thing moving forward. Everything else that we get is amazing. It's incredible. Food parcels, clothing, everything they ask, but we need money. The money is what pays the salaries and keeps this thing going.
I want to thank you again for joining us today. And to all the listeners, support the people that are doing the good work. Support the people that are out there creating the change. Or go out there and change the world. It was Steve Jobs who said the ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. So, you know, maybe be a little bit crazier and go clean that environment. Sean, thank you for your time today. And to all my listeners, I want to wish you guys only good things.
Thank you so much, Ben. And as I said, it's an honor actually connecting with you. And you've been exceptionally kind to me, and I'm truly blessed. And you look after yourself and keep doing the great things that you do.
I'm Brent Lindekue, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. And you've been listening to Good Things Guy, a Jackpod podcast. For more episodes or to subscribe, rate, or review my podcast, go to iTunes, Iona FM, or Google Podcasts. Be kinder than necessary to yourself and each other. Thanks, and only good things.